We're a bit short on time this morning because we just had such a lengthy time in worship there, which is great, wasn't it? So I've got a whole page of notes here. So that's going down here because I'm not going to get to that. That's good. So that means I'm ahead of schedule. I've got a sermon ready for a key. But that I may or may not deliver in a few weeks' time. But what I really sensed this morning, Kenny and Sandra were talking this morning about, I think Kenny said, like, we're using this word confession, and sometimes, like, we have words, and they kind of mean something, or they become to mean something slightly different to what they're intended to be. So as Kenny was saying, the word confession, it really means speaking the truth. So when we're confessing before God, that's why, like, you know, we confess our sin, because we're telling God the truth about ourselves. It's not that we are, you know, it's all just about bad stuff, but it's like we're just being truthful. And even in that creed that we said this morning, it's always interests me, like the word Catholic with a small c actually refers to the universal church, but that word has changed because Catholic with a capital C is allocated as the title of the Roman Catholic Church. So words change their meaning. And one of the things I was actually going to talk about this morning was, part of it was going to talk about the word consequence. Again, it's a word that has a negative connotation. So we do something and we talk about the consequences of it, but we would generally think the consequences would be negative, yeah? But sometimes consequences are good. You know, so the consequence of you giving money to Love Falkirk so that we can buy vouchers for these kids is a consequence, right, of doing good. Yeah? So we bless God for that. But in the spirit of confession, and when a pastor gets up front and says, I'm going to confess to you, you should start to worry. But I just sense someone, God just wants me to kind of confess a couple of things to you this morning. So don't worry, it's nothing controversial. But before the service started this morning, someone asked me how my week had been. I would normally say it's fine, that I had a good week, but it wasn't a great week. It wasn't a great week because I spent a lot of time this week with people, which the consequences of which aren't always good, right? Now, the thing with people is that people have their stuff going on. And the kind of first thing I think I dealt with this week was, and I've got permission to talk about this, but our lovely friend Violet there, her husband Michael took a stroke this week on Monday. Michael, when we first planted the church, this was the building that we used, and Michael was the caretaker. He's now retired. I love Michael because we could do with him because he's the only guy that I know that can fix the heating in here, right? So Violet's obviously upsetting for Michael and also upsetting for Violet, and, you know, we give God thanks for the strength of Violet's faith going through this. But I went with Violet on Friday to visit Michael up at Fourth Valley Royal, and he's recovering really well, and Monday couldn't speak, he had no feeling down the right hand side. But when I was on Friday, it was a normal conversation. I had to ask, was his speech affected? That's how good it was. And he was able to, he was walking about, he went to the gym when we were there. There was a gym in the hospital, but he was at the gym. But what Violet said to me as we're driving there in the car, she just said to me, Michael needs the Lord. He needs the Lord. And we're going to pray for Michael later on, but you know, we want to see this guy healed. He's a lovely guy. We had great chat on Friday, Violet, Michael, and me. And you know, and I'm telling you that because sometimes the reality of what we do it's not all nice. It's not all pleasant. There's nothing worse, really, than being invited to go to the hospital. Really, you don't know what you're going to face, but thankfully, on this occasion, it was a lovely time. We prayed with Michael. That's how my part of my week's been. But the blessing is I get to hang out with Violet for a wee while, which is always a joy. Always a joy. And her massive dog. By the way, if you're going to Violet's house, just be prepared for her dog. It's huge. The other kind of big event, or not big event, but the big thing for me this week was we have our food pantry down at Falkirk Juniors, and we provide food for some of the guys down there. And we've got an interesting spread of people there. But there's a real... These are people who are poor in many kinds of ways. But with the pantry on Wednesday, we were told by one of the guys that one of our regular pantry users had died. And he died of an overdose. And it was two things that were really quite eye-opening about that. So one was the guys, his friends that were there were clearly, it was a big blow to them, but also it was quite matter-of-fact. This is a guy, I think he'd be in his late 30s, and the kind of context of the chat was, that's another one gone. And these are young men. That's another one gone. You should be saying that if you're in your 80s and your 90s, not when you're in your 30s. But it really kind of hit me hard this week in terms of like what we do down there isn't just do-gooding. It's not just about giving people food. You know, this guy, we've prayed with him. We've, I hope, expressed the love of Jesus to him. I hope that he, in his final moments of despair that drove him to do that, cried out to God. Because we know that if you cry out in the name of the Lord, he'll hear you and he will save you. That's my prayer. We don't know. We don't know. But you know, this is the reality of what we're about. You know, with the Church of Jesus Christ, we are here to confess the gospel. We're here to let people know that there's more to life or the lack of life that they have. That what we carry isn't something for ourselves so that we can feel better about ourselves or to make our lives a bit better. It's about bringing the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom and his light into the world that we live in. You know, and when we're talking, you know, we're singing this morning like these songs about is Jesus enough? We have to ask ourselves, like, are we living in a context and an atmosphere of our lives where we actually are living out the fact that Jesus is enough, or Jesus is a part of what I am, or I have all these other things in my life that satisfy me, and I want Jesus just to top that up. If you had everything stripped away and nothing was left, would Jesus be enough? When we are at the food pantry and we're seeing these people down there, we have to believe that Jesus is enough. We have to, because I come away, here's another confession, I come away from that sometimes, I get in my car and I'm driving away and I'm just saying to God, this is hopeless. Someday you go and it's like, nobody's getting better, everybody seems to be getting worse. Yeah? The guys that are there, you know what I'm talking about. You're seeing the same problems week after week, nothing's getting better. You know? And we got a low point like that this week. And we have to believe that Jesus is enough, because if we don't go to that place, where do we go? Where do we go? Yeah. So that's how my week's been. But yeah, that's just it's the reality of life. It's not all good out there. But Jesus has the answer. We have the answer. It's in us, and we have to share it. I believe that God will heal Michael. I believe he is healing him. I believe that this guy who passed away through the week, he heard, he knows that Jesus loves him. And I'm hoping that he cried out to God and that he, in his last moments, decided that Jesus was enough. And, you know, we're looking forward to the end of this month where all being well. Guys, could you pray that they get the heating system fixed in here, right? But not to make you comfortable, right? Well, that partly, because we want you to feel good and be warm. But we're planning to do a baptismal service at the end of the month. And with the heating not working means we're having a hot water in the building. So our two lovely sisters there, Caitlin and Iona, I do mean sisters in the Lord, but they're actually sisters, are going to get baptized, and we're planning to do it at the end of the month. But they need warm water in the pool, so we need to pray for that. But that's exciting that we're going to be doing that. And if you, yeah. And if you haven't been baptized, if you know Jesus, if you are a child of God and you've not been baptized, then you should be baptized. You should be baptized. We can talk to you about it and tell you why you should be baptized or explain the detail of it. But the bottom line is, that's just another thing you have to say yes to with God. So if you know Jesus, if you are a child of God, if you've given your life to Jesus, then we would love to baptize you. And I believe if you just let me know, even today, just give me a talk to me at the end. And if you do that, I believe that we'll have warm water. We're in faith, believing for warm water for the end of the month. So that's good to know, isn't it? That there is, I've told you some kind of sadder stuff today, but there's life. You know, there's life coming into the church. God is good. God is good. You know, even, you know, in our lowest moments, even when we are fed up and, you know, we don't have the best of experiences, you know, like I've had this week, you know, like God is still God. Like his purpose for us has not changed. You know, this is a crazy time. Like, we don't even know where everyone's at, do we? We don't know where everyone's at. We don't know what commitment level's like. We don't know who's hanging around, who's going, who's coming in. It's just a crazy time. But guys, we have to believe that God knows what he's doing, right? And we carry on. We push through. We persevere. We maintain our consistency of gathering, of praying, of speaking about Jesus to those that don't know him. And I do believe that we are on the brink of something that we couldn't even have imagined. Remember, I reminded you a few weeks ago that just about 6 or 8 weeks before COVID arrived, March 2020, in January 2020, we started to earnestly pray for revival. And at the beginning of us starting those times of prayer, I remember sharing with you that In the Lewis revival, when the church leaders started to pray, it was only between kind of 6 and 8 weeks that revival broke out. After 6 or 8 weeks of us praying, we got COVID, right? Now, I'm not saying that God sent COVID, right? But I think God knew what he was doing. I think we were praying for something, and God answered in a way that we weren't expecting. But those prayers are still valid, and God is doing something. He's on the move, and we are these times of being unsettled and instability are because God is shaking us up to do something different. To do something different, you know. This isn't a time for comfort. It's not a time for ease. It's a time to be a bit more edgy. I feel edgy all the time at the moment, but we need to get edgy because God's on the move. Yeah, do you agree? Yeah. Right, say amen if you agree. Amen. Man, I'm sounding like an American here doing that. No offense, Sandra, Naomi, Nancy. Guys, why don't we stand?